Welcome, fellow confidence crusaders, neuro nerds, and success equalizers. This is your podcast, Real Confidence. I'm your host, Alyssa DeVere, and I'll be sharing a bit of basic brain science, some surprising social secrets, and a touch of tough love. Why? Because I believe confidence is everyone's fundamental right and choice. So let's get to it. For those of you who've been avid listeners of the Real Confidence podcast, I have to say this, it's going to be different today. This topic is really, really cool, and it's really different. So strap on whatever you're driving or walking with, because I've got somebody with us today who's going to talk about psychedelics. But we're not just going to be talking about the chemical and the impact of it. We're going to tie it back to confidence. So Sherry Race, thank you for being here with me. I can't wait to get started.
I'm excited too. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, you have a lot of credentials in all different areas, not just this area of psychedelics that we're going to hone in on. But I want to take a moment to call out that you are a co-founder. You are a fellow entrepreneur. And Thea, tell us a little bit what that is. And then how did you get into why psychedelics?
Yeah. So Anthea is the only company that provides benefit plans to employers for psychedelic therapy. What that means is similar to how companies can offer their employees healthcare and dental and vision. Through Anthea, they can offer their employees ketamine-assisted therapy or psychedelic-assisted therapy through our plans. And we're the only company that's offering this. Without this service, people who want to try psychedelic therapy or seek that treatment because they need it wouldn't be able to afford it, unfortunately, or at least most people. If they're paying out of pocket, psychedelic therapy is very costly and out of reach. So that's kind of why the company was created, to help solve this equity issue in the psychedelic ecosystem.
So fascinating. So many questions already, but how did you get into this? Like, how does one all of a sudden find themselves, not just in psychedelics, but the business, literally the business of it?
Yeah. So I think people have different stories of how they got into psychedelics, because it's a new and old industry since it has been around for millennia. But personally, my journey was through, I had spent a decade in poverty reduction initially. So I was consulting to the UN and consulting to the World Bank. And I was working in very resource constrained environments, countries like Afghanistan and Niger and Yemen. And through that work, I saw firsthand that you can't completely address poverty if you don't address mental health. And I also saw firsthand what the effects were of war and intergenerational poverty, and that in a lot of developing countries, people don't have access to mental health care solutions really at all, or it's very limited. And so after a decade of doing that and being very, it was really clear to me how important in addressing mental health was, I started to look for solutions and really stumbled upon what was happening in the psychedelic space. And by that, what I mean is, in a nutshell, if you look at how we've been treating mental health for the past few decades, we haven't had a lot of advancements or innovation. We're kind of using the same SSRIs. There are sometimes some changes in techniques and talk therapy, like using CBT versus another kind of talk therapy. But we've basically been doing the same thing for decades, and the data tells us it's not very effective. So I won't go into all of the stats, but there's a lot of data out there showing how ineffective antidepressants are for a lot of people, and how ineffective talk therapy is. Not for everyone. For some people, it does work, but for a lot of people, it doesn't. And if you look at psychedelic therapy, it's really mind-blowing the potential it has to help people that are struggling with mental health issues. There are clinical trials that show that just 1 to 3 sessions of psychedelic therapy will help 60 to 80% of people completely get rid of whatever illness that they're facing, whether it's treatment-resistant depression or substance abuse disorders or anxiety. And this is unheard of in the mental health space, these kinds of results. So that's I guess what got me in the space, getting so excited about the potential to really help millions of people.
You know, it's unbelievably unique. I said that in the beginning. So here is somebody who has public policy, poverty, mission to erase and reduce it, mental health as one of those big flag issues in that space. And here you are now talking about, and you kind of use these words, you're like, you know, substance abuse, yet using psychedelics. I think in many people's minds, they're like, wait a minute. So can you give a little bit more to the lay person like myself and others who may be listening? What is psychedelic therapy? Why is it used to even approach things like depression or substance abuse?
Yeah. So, and forgive me if I'm explaining it too simply, but essentially what psychedelic therapy is the use of a traditional psychedelic compound. So that can be MDMA, commonly known as ecstasy in the street, or psilocybin, commonly known as magic mushrooms, or LSD, commonly known as acid, or ketamine, commonly known as Special K. Using any one of these substances, and there are others in the list or category of psychedelics, in combination with therapy. So it's not using it in a recreational setting at a party. It's not just simply going out and taking a bunch of mushrooms and seeing how it feels, but it is a very assisted and intentional process that starts, formally starts with an assessment. So you would see a provider and they would do a medical examination and a psychiatric evaluation. And if you are a good candidate for psychedelic therapy, you would then do what's called preparation. So you would talk to a therapist maybe 1 to 3 times and lay out what you've been struggling with, what your intentions are, what you want to solve with the psychedelic therapy. And after those sessions of preparation, you would then do what's called the medicine session. So that's sitting with a therapist and taking in the psychedelic compound. And depending on which psychedelic, there are different ways of taking it, whether it's through IV or IM or a lozenge. And then after that psychedelic or medicine session, you then have what's called integration. So you talk to a therapist, could be somewhere from 6 to 8 sessions post-medicine, and really try to integrate the learnings. And what's unique about psychedelic therapy is the mechanism of action. So they work by targeting the serotonin receptors in the brain, which are involved in regulating mood and cognition and perception. And what really happens that's different than with SSRIs is that you get to the root cause of the problem. So the psychedelic effect allows for neuroplasticity. It allows for your brain to form new connections. It allows for ego dissolution, which is very closely tied to confidence. It allows us to reduce negative self-talk. And rather than something that you need to take as a pill every day for many years that comes with many side effects, psychedelics are traditionally non-toxic, so you can't overdose, and non-habit forming, so you can't get addicted. And after typically 2 to 3 medicine sessions, you've gotten to the root cause of your problem because you've been in that phase of neuroplasticity and you're able to form new connections.
I love it. So I talk about neuroplasticity in all my talks and all my books. You said the magic word, not much, but neuroplasticity. SSRI, for those of you who are on, you may not be familiar with the term. It is a category of drug for treating typically depression and anxiety often. So many people who are on SSRIs or I always get the acronyms wrong, SNRIs, right? And you're saying basically that they don't work very well. The psychedelics work really well. They create the ability for your brain to embrace new connections and make you feel better. And you did drop some other magic words for me, which was erase self-doubt or reduce self-doubt. Talk reduce. A little more about that.
Yeah. So the profound part of psychedelic therapy, there's a few things that make it very distinct. One, it during that enhanced connection between different brain regions, there's a profound shift in consciousness and perception that facilitates introspection, personal insight. This is kind of what leads to psychological healing, but really it reduces negative self-talk and helps us ruminate less. So as an example, if I was the kind of person that perhaps I'm always worried, like how people are perceiving me. And I kind of think I'm like, not in a narcissistic way, but I kind of think I'm like the center of attention, right? And I'm really self-conscious about everything I'm doing when I'm in public. And let's say I trip and fall, you know, I get to a party or some sort of event and I trip and fall upon entry. I would spend, you know, weeks being like, oh my God, I can't believe I tripped and fell. Like so many people saw me, how embarrassing. And I'm going to ruminate on that for a while and keep calling myself clumsy and all of these things. Well, after a psychedelic assisted therapy experience, you're able to realize, oh no, I'm not actually the center of attention. And people aren't really talking about me falling for weeks on end. And this is like, you know, a silly kind of trivial example, but it's to illustrate how it encourages self-compassion and increases our self-awareness, which is what ultimately leads to boosting confidence.
Yes, it does. It's that whole, so, you know, it's, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I can't believe it. So stopping that rumination, stopping that cycle of I suck, right? Or, you know, yes. I'm just not worthy, right? You know, stopping that cycle in and of itself is magical. And then you're saying it basically kind of corrects it in a way that says, you know, that's not the truth. That's not the reality. So how do people, I mean, you're giving them some assistance, but where does that reality come from? You said there's not a talk therapy aspect of it. So
all of a sudden come
out and they go, I'm much better than I used to be. I thought I sucked and now I'm awesome.
No, to be really clear, forgive me if that was not clear. There is a talk therapy aspect of it. And that's a huge component. And in fact, if you do the psychedelics without the talk therapy, then they're not going to have the same effect. And so it's not talk therapy for the rest of your life. Psychedelic assisted therapy means you're doing therapy for a few sessions before you do the psychedelics, usually while you're doing the psychedelics, and then a few sessions after the psychedelics. But that's what makes the world of a difference. It's your brain is in a more fluid state where there's more neuroplasticity. And also you have a trained therapist there that we sometimes call guides or sitters, who is literally sitting beside you and able to walk you through this experience, which depending on the psychedelic compound, if it's something like ketamine, it'll last an hour or so. But if it's something like psilocybin or MDMA, it could last 6 to 8 hours. And you're with your therapist during that time.
Right. So, you know, I'll admit when we first connected online and all, I was like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, when artists, creative artists, whether they're painters or they're musicians, take a psychedelic to kind of open up that creative door, right?
Yes.
We're opening up some doors that allow people to then not only hear the truth, but agree and accept and build those neuroplastic pathways.
Yes.
To kind of make it so that truth sticks. And I think that maybe is, again, oversimplifying it, as you said.
No, that's not oversimplifying at all. That's really it. And I think what you said about making the truth stick is what we call integration. So that's why we're integrating our lessons or whatever we learned during that experience into our everyday life. So they become permanent.
So everybody who's listening is going, sign me up, where do I go? So I want to come back and, you know, who's a good candidate?
Yes.
You have to have an employer, it sounds like, to help fund it. And I would like you to comment, like, you know, why and how do people get this kind of treatment? And is it really reserved for people who are at their last straw, or should this be something that's more of a first attempt?
These are very good questions. Okay. So let me start with how do people access this? So if we are talking about ketamine assisted therapy, ketamine is legal nationwide. It has 50 years of proven safety and efficacy It is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines. So it's here, it's available, and it's safe and legal. And you can get ketamine-assisted therapy covered through your employer if your employer uses an Anthea benefit plan. But if that's not the case, then there are many ketamine therapy clinics nationwide. There are ones that do ketamine therapy even via telehealth, so you can do it from the comfort of your home. There are brick and mortar clinics. If somebody wants to explore perhaps doing ketamine assisted therapy, they could just Google it, and they'll see a handful of telehealth options, and they'll also see in Google Maps the locations that are, you know, in their vicinity. My recommendation there for anyone listening is to make sure that the clinic that you are looking at, if it's a physical clinic, that they do ketamine therapy. So you could do just a ketamine infusion, but if you're looking for this kind of profound psychological healing, this boost in confidence, you'd want to do it with the therapy. So that's one part of your question. And the other part, you know, I'm also talking about MDMA and psilocybin, and I've mentioned a few other substances. These are not FDA approved yet. However, the FDA has given both MDMA and psilocybin breakthrough status. And what that means is the FDA recognizes from all of the clinical trials they've seen how significant these medicines are and the potential they could have to help people and how strong the results so far are. So they're fast tracking them so that they get approved sooner. And fingers crossed, MDMA would be approved next year and psilocybin perhaps shortly thereafter. Psilocybin is decriminalized in a lot of parts of the US, like Colorado and Oregon, but not FDA approved yet.
So my last part of that question, and I threw it in probably too much in one go, which is like, who's a candidate? Like if somebody's out there, they're listening to our podcast because they're like, I want to get more confidence. Can anyone do this?
So that's a great question. And there's one more thing I should have said, which there are countries outside of the US where psychedelics are legal, and there are retreat centers that people can go if they don't want just a ketamine experience. If they want to try something else, there, of course, it's more costly, but there are retreat centers in Costa Rica and Jamaica and Amsterdam. So that is also an option. And who's a good candidate? Well, terrific question. For ketamine assisted therapy, there are several conditions that ketamine therapy is really great for. Substance abuse, anxiety, depression, PTSD, social adjustment disorder. These are just some of the options. Some people only resort to ketamine therapy after they've tried other methods and it hasn't worked for them. But some people, that's not the case. Some people are trying ketamine therapy because they are really depressed and they've read about antidepressants or they've read about something else and they don't think that that's for them. And ketamine therapy is their go-to option first. But yeah, those are some of the indications that ketamine therapy is good for. And then, like I said, the first part, when somebody goes to a clinic that is offering ketamine therapy, the first thing that'll be done is an assessment to see if they are a good candidate. And there's a medical component to that to check someone's medical history. And a psychological component to make sure somebody's also in the right place mentally to go with this, to do this therapy. Some contraindications might be like being pregnant. For example, if you're pregnant, probably not a good time to try this. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm so excited. We didn't even take a sponsor break, which is okay, because we're going to take a quick one, but I'm going to come back with a magical question, which is, I want you to look into your crystal ball, not crystal meth ball in this case, but your crystal ball, and really think about and share with us, you know, maybe 5-10 years from now is, you know, what do you think is going to happen in this space? Because everything you said sounds almost too good to be true. So we're going to be back in just a few seconds to answer that with Sherry.
Sounds good.
This podcast was sponsored by the American Confidence Institute. ACI uses basic brain science to teach you not what, but how to think with more confidence. ACI is endorsed by top universities and business experts, and it is accredited by the Society for Human Resource Management and the International Coaching Federation. Learn more about ACI's uniquely empowering keynotes, workshops, online training, and coaching certification at www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com. All right, Sherry, is your magic ball and your wand or whatever you need to predict the future ready? This is a hard question and I'm kind of being silly about it, but like everything you said sounds so amazing. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who, after learning from you, says, why are we doing more of this? So, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Is this going to become common practice? Is everybody going to be taking psychedelics who has any one of those issues or disorders? What do you think?
That is a really great question. I, of course, can only give you my thoughts, but one, I think in 5 to 10 years, both MDMA and psilocybin will not only be FDA approved, but they will be used very commonly for people with the different indications that I just mentioned, PTSD, substance abuse, depression, anxiety, et cetera. So I do think they'll both be approved. They'll be out there. They'll be common knowledge. People will be like, why wasn't this approved sooner? We will see less trauma in the world, and we will see people that have felt profound healing and feel more connected. We will see a population that feels more confident. I do think we will see those things. I also think after, 5 to 10 years, I'm hoping that these medicines will also be available in other countries. Probably we won't have to wait 5 to 10 years, but I do think them becoming approved in the US will help be a catalyst for many other countries to adopt these things. So going back to my international development roots, I would like to see that even in resource constrained environments, people will have access to these medicines in safe settings. This all sounds like some sort of utopia where everyone is healed and happy and nobody is sad and nobody has trauma. But on the negative side, I do think that there will also be some cases of some adverse effects, as there are with even Tylenol. We have many cases of adverse effects every year that we don't talk about. But I do think given the stigma and history and nature of psychedelic experiences, those adverse effects may sometimes get hyped in the media. And so us, the people building this ecosystem, need to be prepared for that and need to be able to disseminate information and help people understand why that could happen and give people the resources to prevent it from happening. And then finally, I think, maybe finally, I have so many thoughts, but I'll try to be concise. I think there will be an onslaught of new drugs that will be in the market in 5 to 10 years that are psychedelic-like or grounded in psychedelics, but don't have the hallucinogenic effect. Because I know that there are still many people who, despite hearing this podcast, will be like, I don't know, I don't really want to hallucinate. I'm not comfortable with like letting go of, control for 68 hours. That's crazy. So I think there will be new medications and new therapeutics developed that help offer this kind of healing and neuroplasticity without the hallucinogenic effect. And then finally, I think we will also be exploring using these medicines in both adolescent and younger populations, as well as in elderly populations. So right now we've been focusing on, just adult populations, healthy, or 18 to whatever. But I think we'll look more closely at how we can use this both in the youth and also in elderly.
Wow. So, for all those years, I've been saying you can't really have confidence in a pill. In some ways you can now. And that's really exciting. It's really exciting on so many levels, because giving the world confidence is my personal mission. But, when you talk about allowing people to really create the new pathways so that they can move forward in their lives on a permanent, sustainable, satisfying, confident basis. I mean, that is utopia, but it sounds like it's possible. And that not only made my day, that's probably going to make me continue to get up every morning. So thank you for sharing so much information. I'm sure people are going to listen to this pod more than once, but if they want to reach you and get more resources and stay connected, what's the best way to do it, Cherry?
Yeah, you can go on our website. There's a way to contact us there. It's www.enthea.com. That's E-N-T-H-E-A.com. You can email me directly. I'm happy to talk to people. My email is sherry@enthea.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Cherry Race. Yeah, any one of those methods.
That's so wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing all that. The contact directly with you, that's a lovely thing. And thank you for sharing the wisdom you did today. Most importantly, thank you for doing the work you're doing before, during, and after in your bio. You are an inspiring human and a fellow confidence crusader. So I just want to really thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This has been so much fun.
Before we totally wrap up, I want to let you know that full transcripts and show notes for this and other Real Confidence episodes can be found on www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com/podcast. I also want to remind you once again that the best way to get confidence is to give it to others, and you can do it just by liking and sharing this episode on your preferred podcast and social media channels. You can even give me some confidence by noting topics you'd like me to consider for the future. So for now, this is Alyssa DeVere. Thank you for helping to bring more confidence to the world. Master editing done by Ben Weinstein, with original music performed and composed by Jeff Mitchell. Real Confidence is a production of American Confidence Institute. All rights reserved.